You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe! My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome to Episode 14 of Earth Station MCU. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and now on Podbean, and if you do subscribe to us through one of those services, please take a couple of minutes and give us a rating. Spread the word to everybody I know, and join our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU. John and I are also active on a number of other groups I'd like to give a quick shout-out to, including the Marvel Cinematic Universe Facebook group, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cosplayers, the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as well as the Facebook groups of our sister podcasts, Earth Station One and Earth Station Who. Feedback is always welcome on our Facebook group or WordPress site, or by emailing us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Well, there is a lot of news on a lot of different MCU fronts right now, but what most people are talking about, of course, is Daredevil. We're going to be doing a special episode or two coming up on that, but we can't not talk about it because
it's
awesome.
And I intend to do the entire episode blindfolded.
All right.
Not really.
Oh, okay, fine. So, we're going to also talk about this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Agent May. But, yes, welcome back, John.
Hi.
Hey. So how's your week going?
It's been pretty busy. Fortunately, the last couple of days, you know, slowed down. So it's been nice to catch my breath and, have a little bit of fun and be able to think clearly again.
Yeah, I've actually been getting a little bit more sleep, in spite of being super, super crazy busy this week because I'm stage managing a play. I'm actually trying to get some rest and take care of myself so that I can actually juggle all of these things going on. So yeah, all right. So Daredevil getting some very good reviews.
Yeah, it is certainly, I think, taken the entertainment world by storm. Is been extremely successful. I don't know a person really who hasn't watched it. But then again, all my friends are into comics and Marvel, so you know, even at work, I can talk to my boss like, "Hey, did you like that? Did you see this?"
That's awesome. Yeah, and of the people, not everybody that I know has seen it, but everybody that I know that has seen it has absolutely loved it. And you know, they're taking some pretty big risks with it.
Absolutely.
We talked a little while ago about David Tennant being Purple Man on AKA Jessica Jones and saying, well, there's some very, very dark stuff there, and I'm sure they won't go there.
Yeah, but after, you know, watching all the violent fight scenes and everything that happened in Daredevil,
absolutely,
they're probably going to go there.
I think that they definitely might. And that's something, you know, we were talking on the group and on Earth Station 1 about the show, and some people were saying, do you think that my, you know, 8-year-old kid should watch this?
And,
no. You know, and you don't normally think, you know, as Americans, we're kind of numbed to violence in general. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of things that people see all the time on TV that and don't bat an eyelash at that, you know, would have been thought to be, you know, horrible.
Right.
But without going into detail, as I was trying to explain to some people on the group, the big thing for me with the violence in Daredevil is it's not even that there's a lot of gore. And it's not even that there's, you know, just a lot of getting beat up. It's that it's very realistic. And it's not just like John McClane, you know, duking it out and then, you know, shrugging it off. people break bones. People, yeah. like, bleed and get stabbed. And
I mean, you know, at several points, Matt has to be pretty much almost resuscitated, almost brought back to life because of the beatings that he takes from the guys that he goes after.
Right. You know, we never see Agent May getting up in the morning and going, oh my God, I can't move because I'm so sore from this fight I had last night. But you do see things like that. So even though normally, you know, violence is not something that we tend to, you know, say, oh, this is inappropriate for kids, with this, I gotta say it is, because it's brutal. And, you know, when you think about, you know, one guy, and that's the other thing, is that Matt Murdock is an amazing fighter, but he's not a superhero in the same way that, like, Iron Man or Thor or Captain America is. He's just a dude, you know? And, and not to mention the fact that he goes through almost... Well, I haven't seen all of it, but I know he's at least gone through the majority of it with no body armor, which is kind of scary, too.
Yeah, and when you go up against, you know, ninjas and assassins
and the mob.
Yeah, and, like, you know, 6-foot towering muscle.
Yeah.
That is the Kingpin.
Right.
You know, you're...
You're gonna get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. you're gonna get hurt bad, which, yeah. you know, we see... Matt go through, and I mean, we see not only, you know, how all of that affects him, but of course how it affects the people he's close to.
Sure, and speaking of which, I think that they've done, again, not getting into details, but it's a very well-rounded show in that it's not just about him. You know, with something like Agent Carter, there were very, very, very few scenes in that did not have Agent Carter in them.
Right.
But with this, we get to see a little bit more of the other people in his life and what they're going through, and how they see some of the same events that he does through a different perspective. So.
Right, and they really take time and care to build that world and get us invested, not just in Matt, but. In Claire, in Foggy, in Karen, even in Wilson Fisk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, it's been getting amazing reviews. I haven't actually seen that many people who've commented on the violence, interestingly, in the media. But I know that, I'm not sure what it's at right now, but I know that initially it was at 95% on Rotten Tomatoes for critics and 97%. From people who had seen it, so yeah. I don't know if it's actually going to stay up around those numbers, because that's absurdly high for Rotten Tomatoes.
But I haven't really seen a lot of people who didn't like it.
True, but you know, like I said, with the level of violence that there is, I can see some people going, "Whoa, that crossed the line for me." In fact, one of my friends,
and they're probably the same people who turn around and watch The Walking Dead and don't blink.
Well, yes and no. Without getting into it, a friend of mine, before I'd even seen it, said, "Have you seen episode 4?" And I said, "No, all I've seen is the first episode." And she's like, "I haven't seen it either, but I've heard what's in it, and I'm not going to be able to watch." And we'll get into that when we do the actual review. But yeah, there's some amazing brutality in some of these episodes, and so there's, like I said, I know that it's not everybody's cup of tea, so I think probably there will be some people who are not as into that. But another thing that brings up is, it looks like the way that they're setting up these Netflix series, it's not like there's going to be another season of Daredevil necessarily. But we've got all these, you know, we've got Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and Iron Fist and all that stuff coming out. And
everything is already tying together, even in Daredevil.
Right. It doesn't have the level of tie-ins that we see in some other things, but it's still clearly in the same universe. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was discussed, I think it's still at rumor stage right now, but that people have talked about this week, is the possibility of the Defenders, which is Daredevil and Cage and Jessica Jones and Iron Fist, being in one of the later movies in the MCU. I think it was in the second Infinity War, maybe?
Yeah, that's what they've said. And, I mean, even before this announcement, they've said that Infinity War, or I believe it was Josh Brolin himself that said that Infinity War Part 2 is everyone against Thanos.
Right, right. So we know that we're going to have Guardians of the Galaxy and, you know, everybody on the Avengers and everybody who's friends with the Avengers and everything. So, yeah, it's exciting to know that that's, you know, that they're thinking that far ahead of time. And even though we're not going to have, what is it, like, it's at least another 5 years before that comes out, right?
Right. Yep.
Even if we're going to have a break, we are going to see Matt Murdock again. So that's pretty cool.
Well, like you know, speaking of guest stars, I love reading some of these rumors, some of these you know, spoilers about things that are apparently going to happen in the future and who's going to show up in what movie.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Civil War, when we've had you know, Anthony Mackie already saying this is going to be Avengers 3.8, and he's kind of walked those comments back a little bit. But you know, now the rumors, of course, are that not only are we getting Cap and Iron Man and Falcon, Winter Soldier, War Machine, but we might also get
Hawkeye, you know, I think.
Hawkeye. Hawkeye's been kind of, it's one of those things that's been leaked into the trades, but there's been no official announcement.
Right, right.
But also we might get Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, The Vision, Spider-Man, and even potentially Ant-Man.
So basically we're talking everybody except Black Widow and Thor.
Well, actually Black Widow is in it.
I forgot that.
But Thor's obviously going to be
Thor.
Thor's going to be doing whatever Thor's doing.
Right.
At the time.
Exactly. Wow. Well, that will be interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that with that story, it's certainly going to have to focus on Captain America. And then with Iron Man and probably Spider-Man being the other ones that are, you know, significant in that. I don't think it's meant to be a big ensemble film as much as it is a Captain America movie. But we'll see.
And of course, it said that even you know, if Spider-Man does make his appearance in this one, you know, there have been concerns that, you know, well, like, there have been rumors more specifically that it was supposed to be Spider-Man making that cameo role that then went to Black Panther.
Right.
But they're, of course, saying that, no, Black Panther still has a huge part in
it. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how the writers manage to juggle all of those characters, you know, while still keeping it focused on a couple of them. You know, because we're talking, like, even way more than we've got in Age of Ultron for characters. So I'm sure some of them will end up just being like little quick 2-minute cameos or something. But
well, and of course, I mean, even in Age of Ultron, beyond what we know, we're also getting you know, War Machine, and apparently, if you've seen the latest TV trailer for it, it's not just Don Cheadle showing up and helping Tony lift the hammer, but he actually shows up in the armor.
Okay, cool.
And like the one scene you see, you know, of him fighting Ultron drones, there's a helicarrier in the background.
Right. So where did they get that from?
I don't know. It's like, wait, what's going to happen in 2 weeks on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes, and we'll talk about some of that when we get to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. part tonight.
Right.
But let's see, other stuff. They've been talking about possibly Angelina Jolie coming in to direct Captain Marvel, which would be interesting. You know, obviously, I know that they want to bring on more, you know, female people in the creative end of things. Which is good. I'm not sure if that's going to be her style of movie. She's kind of done, you know, like serious dramas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that, you know, on the other hand, she's certainly done plenty of action, you know, and special effects movies as an actor. So,
yeah, and I mean, usually, I think you see when you have an actor who's done a lot of those movies themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then gone director, they do know how to be able to translate that to screen to make it look good.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
And we also got the announcement about the writers for the film.
Yes. Nicole Perlman, who worked on Guardians of the Galaxy, who seems like just an incredibly cool person. And the writer of Inside Out.
Yep, Meg LaFave.
Yep.
I want to say that I pronounced that correctly, but I'm not sure.
My guess is LaFave, but I'm
LaFave.
Yeah, my high school French is telling me LaFave, but who knows?
Okay.
If that's right. But yeah, so that's coming out in November 2018. Mm-hmm. So we're talking like two and a half years-ish.
So I think that's definitely like a cause for celebration, especially in the diversity of the Marvel Universe, that Marvel is seriously leaning to have the Captain Marvel movie written and directed by women.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's definitely a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and just the fact that the version of Captain Marvel that they're choosing to do is the Carol version and not one of the guy versions.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Carol has been extremely popular lately.
Oh, absolutely!
Like her series is just, well, I forget what the Carol fans call themselves. I'm sure somebody will remind me in the comments or
probably.
But they've definitely been a force.
The Carol
they've been
Corps.
Out by yeah the Carol Corps
that's it.
Yeah they've been buying the book, they've been making sure that it shoots up there, so Marvel has every reason to go full steam ahead with this and give it all their support.
Absolutely. And there's even been talk about a Black Widow movie lately.
Yes.
It's nowhere on the schedule right now, so I don't think that they're necessarily going to add one in, but hey, at least it's being talked about, so.
Yeah, I mean, and that's definitely a good thing, because it's been, it's been clamored for such a long time, and she has several good stories on her own that could translate into a film.
Absolutely, and, you know, I would love to see that. I think that she's just such a cool character, and we've seen her, you know, in Winter Soldier, and can see that she's, you know, she can hold her own in different situations. So,
and we know Scarlett Johansson can hold her own as a action film protagonist.
Right. Well, Lucy was maybe not the best movie ever, but she was great in it. So
yeah, she's still good.
Absolutely. We got some rumors about Guardians of the Galaxy. The title that they released for it is Guardians of the Galaxy 3000.
Yeah, that's the working title. And for those not familiar, the original Guardians of the Galaxy was set in the year 3000, or far in the future.
Right.
And obviously did not star the current characters.
Right.
But now they've got a current Guardians 3000 comic starring the original team, and it seems like that suggests that either the current team's going to go into the future, or the original team is going to come to the present.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be some time travel involved, and if you're familiar with the Infinity Gems, there's massive potential for a certain time gem to show up in any kind of time travel story.
Right, and that's I know that on a lot of the news groups and whatnot online, saying where the different Infinity Gems are located and what they could be doing and whatnot is like the hot thing to argue with people over. But
So of course, you know, another rumor about that is that, you know, the glowing yellow thing in Vision's forehead is the soul gem.
Oh, the soul gem. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, we're pretty sure at this point that the mind gem is actually in
Loki's
staff.
Right. Are there any other ones that we've seen a good indication of yet, or?
Well, we have so far learned the Tesseract is the space gem.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
The ether was the reality gem, they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the staff is the mind gem.
What's the reality gem?
The reality gem, it basically has the ability to alter reality, open up portals to other realities, etc., which is what they were saying that the ether was doing in Thor: The Dark World.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, was that it would be a Thor related thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting.
So there's a possibility that the Vision has the Soul Gem.
Mm-hmm.
That if this next Guardians movie is about time travel, that the Time Gem can show up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Let me do a quick count and see if that's at least five of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, wait, six, because we've got the Power Gem that was in the first Guardians film.
Oh right, yeah, uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that would be all six of them.
That's pretty cool to see again just the way that everything's related and how you've got these like little bitty things that are all sort of coming together into one.
Right.
So, time travel in Guardians of the Galaxy would certainly be cool. Assuming that, you know, the rumors are true in Guardians of the Galaxy, that this team is going to show up in Infinity War, if they go into the future, they're going to have to come back.
Yeah, and if you're fighting Thanos, you know, it's probably going to take place in space unless he comes to Earth.
Right.
You know, there was also a story this week that sources inside Marvel are 75% certain that Agent Carter is going to come back for a second series.
Yes, that would make me very happy.
That would make a lot of people very happy, including
indeed.
Me, because more opportunities to be Jarvis.
Exactly. More Jarvis is always good.
Yeah, and I actually got tired of my longer hair,
uh-huh.
today, so I got all cut off into a very short Coulson-esque do again.
Excellent. We've got, mm-hmm. Of course, we've got MomoCon coming up in another month and a half or so.
Yep.
So, and I will be doing, it looks like three panels, I think. One of them is just an MCU one. One of them is going to be focused on, it's going to be just about superhero TV shows in general.
Right.
And there's another one, and I'm blanking on. But we'll as we get closer to that, we'll definitely talk about that.
And right now, my con plans are Timegate, which will have its share of Marvel panels
as well.
Hopefully again. And I'm on the fence still if I'm going to go maybe to MomoCon just for Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah.
Oh, New Entertainment Weekly's out this week.
Oh yeah. So what all's in that one?
If you've already read the articles that they put online, it's not really much new. You know, you get a couple of photos, but they're mostly photos that we've seen already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's really neat are the covers, and I'm holding on to the collector's edition cover 2 of 4, which has Vision on it,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you get a very good look at him for the first time, and there are several, like there's at least a couple more. Magazines out there, they're definitely highlighting this movie with only 2 weeks to go.
Mm-hmm. Other things, there was something on Den of Geek about Joss Whedon having on the issue of Agent Coulson coming back.
Right.
I think you mentioned last week on the show that that actually wasn't initially Whedon's idea, right?
Right.
That was something where because when he was told that by Kevin Feige or whoever, he was like, I have a reputation for killing people off. Everyone's going to blame me for this.
But, yeah, and we did.
Of course.
Until we all watched the commentary and like, oh, okay, so Kevin's to blame for this. But,
yeah.
Of course, Kevin also brought him back.
This is true, right. And so did Joss, after a fashion, seeing as he's one of the producers on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But,
right.
It was interesting because he was addressing something that is, you know, it's an issue, it's an ongoing issue in comics in general,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just both of us being Doctor Who fans, that comes up in Doctor Who sometimes too, is that sometimes when you bring a character back or when you make a major change in the way that some people think something happened,
right,
it kind of cheapens it in a way. You know, it's
a little bit, and you know, one of the reasons why Whedon likes to kill people off is to show, you know, death is permanent. It's
right.
It's a loss. It's, you know, what does it do to us as people, and how do we respond to that?
Exactly. And if you get the impression that, oh, it's a superhero movie, people are just going to come back even if they die, it makes it so death doesn't have as much of a, it's not as much of a big deal. So I thought that was interesting. And he was saying that when he watched Avengers with his kids, they saw Coulson died, and at first they were upset, and then they turned around and they're like, "But Daddy, he's on the TV show," and he's like, "Yeah, he is on the TV show. That's true." So
yeah, and I remember that moment in the film, and just when as soon as he took that spear to the chest, yeah. I just thought, "Well, I guess I won't be dressing as that character for the longer."
And yet, go figure.
Yeah, I know. I mean, now I'm buying like expensive ties because they're the ones he wears on the show.
Totally awesome. Hey, I gotta say. You got nothing on trying to get Gemma's wardrobe. Oh my god, I've looked at getting the screen accurate stuff for Simmons, and I ain't ever gonna be able to afford that stuff.
So. Are you kidding me? Coulson wears Armani, man.
It's yeah, she wears. I mean, she'll wear like a $200 blouse and a $300 slacks, and then you know put a $400 coat over it. So you know.
Yeah, it's something we like. My friends and I were commenting on while I was playing. Looking at things to put together for my Captain Cold costume and finding his jeans, which are, you know, $400.
But they're jeans, dude!
And just thinking to myself, you know, think of all these shows where people are poor or it's the post-apocalypse right. or any number of things where they shouldn't be able to get a hold of this stuff, but yet they're wearing the expensive clothing.
Well, I can allow it for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they get paid pretty well. But
yeah, where's that funding coming from now, though?
Well, yes, there is that too. And we'll get into Theta Protocol in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. The only other thing that I wanted to mention was Kobe Smulders let slip on I believe it was on a talk
Jimmy
show.
Kimmel.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, that she is going to be in this season's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I've been hoping for a Fury cameo for him to come in and set Gonzalez straight on Coulson being the man in charge. But right. I think it can be, you know, you can have the exact same thing happen, you know, coming from Maria Hill. So.
And that's certainly possible that she could bring them together. Maybe she's like, well, you know, like after the events of Age of Ultron, maybe she's like, well, screw it, I'm in charge now. Like she wasn't, like she is in the comics.
Right, right.
I do have a problem, though. I think that her being kind of under Fury so long, Gonzalez is going to have the same problem with her that he has with Coulson.
Probably. But, you know, if I was hoping because I think that Fury is the one person that Gonzalez would potentially say, okay, well, if you say Coulson's in charge, then he still, you know, didn't like Fury's methods.
Right.
But it would be a more official handoff. But we'll see. I think there's
yeah. Because we got 2 weeks till Age of Ultron and two weeks till, you know, apparently that cat. That catastrophe somehow brings Gonzalez and Coulson together.
Yes.
So, like, to work together as opposed to fighting each other.
Right, exactly. And in between then, we're going to have some Agent Ward stuff, hopefully. And it definitely should be interesting.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to take a break for just a couple minutes here. And when we come back, we will discuss the new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, Melinda.
We are the Metal Geeks Podcast, and on this show we have heavy metal, comic books, video games, movies, theme parks, and more.
Wait, comics?
Yep.
And movies?
Exactly.
Video games?
Yeah.
Metal?
Of course.
How does theme parks fit in this?
It just does. All of us Metal Geeks can be found at MetalGeeks.net.
At Metal Geeks for Twitter.
Metal Geeks on Instagram.
And Metal Geeks on the Facey Space. You can also find us on iTunes. Subscribe today.
Metal Geeks!
Welcome back, and now we're going to be talking about this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was all about the incident in Bahrain that was so pivotal for Agent May's character. So what were your thoughts on this episode, John?
Man, this was a dark one.
It was, yeah.
And in a certain way, I mean, you know, whatever, because you can imagine, even beginning with whatever turn this super badass Agent May to wanting to do a desk job
yeah.
had to have been pretty traumatic.
Absolutely.
And we certainly got to see what all of that was about.
Exactly. And I think that it was definitely a credit to Ming-Na Wen's acting that when we saw her, cooking dinner with her husband, and mm-hmm. she was just so vibrant and full of life and feminine, and just, they're talking about having a baby and everything, and it really was like a whole different character.
Right.
She it was just, you're looking at this person going, how does this person turn into Agent May? But, of course, one of the things that she mentions in that first opening scene is about, they're talking about having a baby. And then
right.
when we see what happened in Bahrain with her being in a position where she has to kill a kid, that'll mess you up.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, there's a good reason for it. And I think anybody in her position probably would have done the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because otherwise, this would have just spiraled out of control.
Exactly, and she was doing what needed to be done, but it was very much a situation where mm-hmm. nobody thought that was the situation that they were going into. Everybody thought that it was the older woman that was doing everything, yeah. and obviously she ties into it, but it was interesting, and it shows us. Also, what the danger of the Terrigen Mists are, that you can right. you can come out very, very messed up.
And that's that's why Zhang, Sky's mom, explains this. There's a process for this. It's a very careful selection, because if we don't, something like this happens.
Right, exactly. Or something like Reyna. I mean, and
right.
the fact that Sky came through it as well as she did, I guess, presumably has to do with having, two superpowered parents to begin with.
We got a nice family photo out of that this
Aww,
episode.
Oh, yeah, we did. It was sweet. But yeah, and we get to find out why she's called the Cavalry, because, were they S.H.I.E.L.D. agents? No, they
were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yeah.
And, of course, they come to with no memory of anything that's happened. Assume
right.
somebody took them all out, and that May took out whoever did that.
Right. So that's how she got her rep for being, incredibly badass and taking out, a whole warehouse full of people or something. And,
yeah.
of course, they're not going to say, oh, by the way, there was this kid, and I shot her.
Yeah, and all of you were mentally possessed by this kid.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a big mind screw there. The whole that was definitely a big mind screw kind of thing there. There was
right.
also the whole thing about I want your pain. That was pretty creepy.
Yeah, because at least one review I read of this said the kid is essentially a psychopath.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm. Her ability after going through the mist was feeding on emotions and controlling people through their emotions.
Exactly. So yeah, obviously there's a, some people get very mentally screwed up in coming through the mist.
Right.
And in her case, it was, that being screwed up manifested in the worst possible way, with her being able to control other people.
Yes.
So it's interesting to know the backstory. I don't know what I was expecting, but that wasn't it. So it was neat though, the way that they tied in the fact that Jiang, Sky's mom, kind of feels responsible for that happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, even I did read one review that was like, why does everything have to be about Sky? It's like, Marsha, because even Agent May's backstory doesn't get to be just Agent May's. It still ties in with her mom. But, there was, we certainly got to see plenty of Sky and
yep.
and the afterlife stuff this week. So,
and we got to see a different side of Cal.
Absolutely. Yes, we get to see Cal not being crazy.
Yeah, we get to kind of understand what Cal was like before he decided to turn himself into a human guinea pig.
Right, and I think it's interesting because, you know, early on in the episode, Skye's mom is saying, you know, telling her the story about the night that she was born and her father having to go over and get the car from the neighbors and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he starts telling the story, there was a part of me that said, oh, he's going to tell a totally different story because he's crazy. but no, it was like detail for detail. It was the exact same thing. So so when he's, you know, when he's got his Daisy there, you know, it's not, you know, he's much more stable and he's less nuts. Tying in with that, of course, we had a little hint of what Raina's ability presumably is, or at least some part of it, with her early on
something
in the episode,
more than just her physical manifestation,
right, which is just scary and horrible, but yeah, she says early on in the episode something about Skye's father giving her daisies and, you know, drinking champagne and things like that, and that's of course that is exactly what happened. But
of course Lincoln sees that and like, whoa,
yeah,
it's true,
dude. So yeah, it's a friend of mine, and I don't think I sent you the link on this one, but a friend of mine, David Perry, writes about disability issues online a lot, and also about race and the way that it's depicted in popular culture and stuff. And he was doing an essay mostly about Daredevil, which we can talk about when we get to that. But he mentioned the fact that that when people of color get mutations on the show, they tend to be the kind that make you look less like yourself, less human.
Right.
And, you know, he gives the example of Deathlok, who, of course, you know, becomes a scary killing machine.
But the good kind of scary killing machine.
But the good kind, exactly. But, right, you know,
he's on our guy. He's on our side.
Horribly scarred, you know, horribly disfigured and everything.
Right.
And then you've got Raina, you know, who is, again, you know, a dark-skinned actress, and she gets the freakish mutation of being,
right,
you know, monstrous. So,
and, I mean, to a certain extent, I mean, you can certainly counter with that with Skye, saying, well, Skye still looks like herself, even though she's got this power she can't control, and the actress herself is half Chinese, but then again, there's also that saying, well, she's, since she's, you know, half Asian and she's lighter,
exactly,
that she gets the better treatment.
Yeah, exactly. And when, you know, when I heard she was half Chinese, I looked at her and I'm like, there's no way. I mean, she doesn't, you know, she's,
yeah, she was actually she was a pop star in China.
Yes, she was. I haven't gotten a chance to see that video, but I've been told it's pretty entertaining. So anyway, another person, of course, that we could bring into that is
Trip.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I thought. I was like, so apparently we live by the one token rule in this show.
Yeah, and you know, when Trip was exposed to the Terrigen Mist, you know, he died. So, you know, the idea of having you know, that when people of color are exposed to it, it doesn't go well. Of course, there's Jiang, but I'm not sure that she necessarily, I mean, she seems like, you know, she doesn't age, so I think she could be, you know, straight up inhuman in some other way, and not necessarily by the crystals.
But
we'll
even
see.
You know, we know that Cal basically stitched her back together, so even though she's, you know, alive in herself again, she's now she has the scars from Cal's work.
Right, but still, I mean, even if she has, like, super healing factor, I suspect if you completely well, I don't know. I assume that probably at some point did happen in the comics. Did they ever cut Wolverine up into pieces and, like, separate them? And then
probably.
Have to...
I know that, like, a guy like Deadpool has survived, you know, having body parts cut off and then reattached, like, including his head.
Right. So it's in comics world, it's certainly possible, but...
yeah, you have to do a thorough job with these healing factor types.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm assuming that Cal probably, you know, did some kind of crazy mad science, too. But
right.
But yeah, so the point being, people of color and transforming has not a really great track record for being dealt with in the same way that white people being going through the transformation. So,
yep, that means somebody white has got to become ugly.
We'll see.
I'm looking at you, Jed and Marissa.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure that they listen to the show.
We got to make Fitz grow like an extra eyeball or something. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
We'll see. We'll see. I think superpowered Fitz would be interesting. But but anyway, so we had and another thing related to Raina. I'm wondering how much longer Raina is going to last, because I know that the actress Ruth Negga was just cast in Preacher, the show that's going to be starring Dominic Cooper, also known as Howard Stark. So she may be disappearing.
Or at least, you know, not appearing as frequently.
Right.
It's still possible that she can be on the show, but just not as much.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Patton Oswalt been for the last couple of months?
Yeah, he needs to come back. I love him.
I know, we need Koenig.
We need the Koenigs back.
Koenig is probably like having a conniption fit that, you know, these guys are storming their base and they don't have the lanyards.
Right, oh, good point, yeah. I did not see any lanyard on Gonzalez there, so.
Nope.
And, of course, you know, we had the flashback episode, not episodes, but the flashback sections that had Coulson in them, but we didn't have any current, present-day mm-hmm. Coulson or Hunter or Gonzalez or Fitz in this one. So,
right. Well, actually, no, we did get a little bit of that towards the end.
They did?
Yeah, when Fitz is in the bathroom.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And he calls Coulson and Hunter, and, you know, he gets the... he gets the toolbox to open for him, and he knows he's being followed.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was actually that was our cutscene for this episode.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, I think that since we had very little of them in this episode, I think that that'll probably be a lot more of the next episode, which I believe is going to be the one that has Ward coming back.
Yep, and we've seen. We've seen the special poster for next week is pretty much everybody after everybody, you know, and you've got Ward and Gonzalez and mm-hmm. and Coulson all on there, and they're mixing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, one thing to point out in this issue of Entertainment Weekly this week, there is an advert for next week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Uh-huh.
that has a picture of Agent 33 and Ward since we last left them, or left off with them, they're kind of making a very strange go at it as a couple.
Yeah. And that definitely seemed like, you know, she was very into him, and he was very much a manipulative dick.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if he actually has any real feelings for her or not, but it's probably a safe bet that he might not.
Was she looking like her original self, or was she still...
She eventually, I think, she did look like herself,
okay.
But she was... let me see. Maybe it wasn't in this. Maybe it wasn't Thor that I picked up. Okay. I thought it was Entertainment Weekly that had it.
You know,
yeah, it wasn't Thor. It's... yeah, it's a picture of the two of them, and they're holding hands, and it says, "Love has many faces."
Wow. That's...
But it's Agent 33 as herself, not as May or Scott.
But no, that's actually pretty brilliant, because not only, of course, does she have the ability to change her face, Ward is about the most two-faced character that we've ever seen. So yeah.
And you can see, like, in the ad, you know, she's looking at him, but he's kind of just looking somewhere else entirely.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it will definitely be interesting. It will be, you know, interesting to see what the rest of the team has for a reaction when Coulson decides to, work with Ward. And, you know, that's not going to go over real well with the rest of the team, I suspect.
Not at all.
Which brings us to my last plot point that we had, which was the idea of Theta Protocol, and the Gonzalez Shield team seems to think that Coulson was up to something very, very shady with this mm-hmm. supposed Theta Protocol thing, and
right.
You know that it you know it's unclear what it was. It may have been you know
right.
related to Deathlok stuff, but
It's very clear at any rate that Coulson is keeping secrets from his own team and running around doing missions that he doesn't tell anybody about,
right.
or at least when he does say it, he says he's somewhere and he's really somewhere else.
Right. And so, you know, that definitely is introducing an element of, you know, suspicion and mistrust. Although, on the other hand, I kind of don't buy that, you know, that Coulson is doing anything bad. You know,
right.
I think that if he's not telling his team, then he's not telling them, you know, for a good reason. Maybe I have
yeah.
too much faith in Coulson. I don't know, but
I mean, I think we all do, and you know, we're not Gonzalez because we obviously love these characters and we're like, no, they would never do anything bad up until the point where you know Ward shoots
right.
Victoria Hand,
right. You know, but you know, in like last season, there was that you know moment of trying to figure out you know once they realized that there was somebody inside the team informing to Hydra, mm-hmm. and some people were saying it was May, and some people saying no, it's got to be you know Simmons and all that, and of course it ends up being Ward. But I just
right.
I can't believe that he's up to anything really bad, you know. Now, what might be interesting is if Theta Protocol ends up tying in with any kind of Age of Ultron stuff.
I mean, could be, because we know that Coulson had Mike Peterson following the one Hydra guy who escaped
right.
from the cutoff, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Yep. You know, obviously the Ultron Defender system is being constructed. It could be
mm-hmm.
that... You know, he's involved with, you know, some element of the research on that or something. But
maybe, but then he'd probably be having to tell Tony Stark, hey, guess what, I'm alive.
Well, not necessarily if he's going through Maria, you know, because, you know, it seems like she's over at Stark Industries now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But I kind of feel like it isn't as effective as the fake out last year was, because, you know, whereas everybody had done something that was a little bit suspicious and we just
right.
didn't know any of the characters as well last year, you know, this time it's like, I can't believe that he's actually doing anything seriously bad, you know, unless,
right.
unless it turns out that he really is like possessed by Kree blood. You know, maybe he is doing something really terrible, but I find that very hard to believe.
And I'd have to agree with you. I just don't see it really in him to do something horrible and
mm-hmm.
keep that a secret from his team. If he's keeping something a secret, he has a reason behind it.
Right, right. And, you know, and you have to remember that he even, you know, while he was the person that was overseeing the project that ended up, you know, creating the serum that brought him back to life, you know, he got to a point where he was like, no, this is wrong, and we need to not do this. So
yep.
he has lines that he won't cross. So I don't know. I'm just kind of not feeling it as much with this as I did with the suspicion level last year.
I mean,
so,
we'll find out either next week or the week after that.
Yep. This is all stuff that is probably going to come to a head, you know, right around Age of Ultron. So
mm-hmm.
it will be interesting.
And
all
then
right.
we've got a few episodes after that.
Yes, yes, we've got another 3 episodes after that, I think. I think
mm-hmm.
it goes through the end of May. But, okay, so scale of 1 to 5 shields, where would you place this one?
I'm going to give this one a 3.5.
Okay.
You know, I liked kind of May's backstory
mm-hmm.
as traumatic as it was. I really didn't feel like the gut punch that
yeah.
I'd really hoped for, and
mm-hmm.
also, you know, that we don't really go too far beyond May's story and, of course, everything happening in Afterlife.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm also gonna go with a 3.5 on this one. This was one of the weaker episodes this
mm-hmm.
season. The pacing was just kind of all over the place, you know, with the switching back and forth time-wise. You know,
right.
It wasn't confusing, but it also just wasn't smooth.
It just, like it wasn't edited well.
Yeah,
well.
It wasn't as smooth. It didn't seem to flow as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that while the stuff with, you know, with Sky reuniting with her parents was cool, I feel like the afterlife stuff is really dragging. It seems like nothing's really happening.
It's like, how long can we walk around this palatial Asian courtyard,
right,
and talk about how awful it is to have powers without your choosing?
Right, exactly. It's, you know, I'm going with 3.5, but it's maybe on the lower end of that. This was, for me, this was just a disappointing episode. And, I mean, we didn't even have, you know, we've had some really spectacular fights, and I guess it's appropriate that in the Melinda May backstory episode,
mm-hmm,
we don't have the same kind of kick-ass fight, because the whole point of it is that this is what made her what she is. And
but at the same time, you know, May takes out a lot of guys.
She does, but
by herself, and it was pretty badass to watch her work. Still,
it was, but it just wasn't. You know, the emotional core of it was the stuff with the girl, which was not.
Yeah.
You know, which was had to be not a physical fight kind of thing. It was, you know, not the kind of thing you can solve by just decking the person. You know, it felt to me like the whole story in Bahrain was really rushed. You know, it seemed like there was,
mm-hmm,
if we could have had an actual whole episode about that, it would have been cool, but it just, for me, it just went by too fast, so this is probably one of my least favorite ones this season.
I think the emotional weight really wasn't there as well as it could have been.
And I think it's entirely possible that this is suffering, you know, as a result of coming on at the same time that we're watching Daredevil. And, you know, seeing stuff that really gives you the emotional gut punch and, you know, the fighting that is just, you know,
mm-hmm,
a whole other class than what we see on TV. So yeah, not super psyched about it, but it is what it is. And we've got Age of Ultron, we've got Daredevil, we've got Age of Ultron, we've got lots of cool stuff coming up. So I'm not downing on the series. I'm just saying this was kind of an off week in my opinion. All right, I guess that's it. So we'll be back in another week with another episode dealing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you can,
mm-hmm,
also look for our episodes dealing with Daredevil to be coming out real soon now. So until then, have a great week, and we'll see you then. A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy, and if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.